WTAW News Time is 5 minutes after 8. It's 61 degrees. We'll take a look at your full forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by BCR Realtors, the best agents in the Brazos Valley. Find them online at BCRBCS.com. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. A College Station teenager remains missing. Online at WTAW.com is a photo of 16-year-old Taisha Lachey Ross, who was last seen April 28th. A Bryan woman arrested for dumping a corpse out of a stolen vehicle last Friday used profanity to tell police she doesn't care about dead people. According to her arrest report, 28-year-old Tanya Albrecht said she had permission to take an unmarked Suburban owned by a funeral home, and she denied dumping the body on a stretcher northeast of Bryan on Dick Elliott Road. Albrecht was arrested for abuse of a corpse, and she and 27-year-old Adam Crow of Bryan were charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle. The corpse was being transported from Bryan to Sealy at the time the SUV was stolen. Instead of the McDonald's, the funeral home employee had left the vehicle unattended at a nearby convenience store on Highway 21. Major road improvements are coming to a congested area of South College Station. That's what the College Station Planning and Zoning Commission heard before endorsing a rezoning that is proposed to bring 1,500 more single-family homes to an area bordered by Arrington Road and Greens Prairie West. One of three consultants on the Margraves Housing Project, Veronica Morgan, says they have met with the city, the county, and other developers to rebuild Arrington Road.
Next meeting that we will have to discuss the Arrington Road will be to discuss financial participation. The county has it slated on their budget to be considered by the Commissioner's Court in this next fiscal year. And if the Commissioner's Court does approve that, then the county will have funds for at least the roadway improvements. And we're going to team with them to try to help get utilities relocated as well as the right-of-way acquisition taken care of.
At the intersection of Arrington and Greens Prairie, which is scheduled to be rebuilt next year, Morgan says they will pay the city for the design and construction costs of dual left turning lanes. The city council is scheduled to act on the Margraves rezoning request this Thursday. Future purchases of school buses in the College Station School District will include seat belts. That's part of the local reaction to state legislation that is headed to the governor for his signature. The Texas House approved a bill previously adopted by the Senate requiring belts on new 2018 buses and beyond. Lawmakers also gave school districts the option of not including belts if they don't have the money. The state did not provide additional funding, which is estimated at $7,000 per bus. A Bryan ISD spokesman told WTAW News that they are monitoring the situation, and they'll see what happens. It was a busy weekend for one Brazos Valley state lawmaker. Representative Trent Ashby, whose district includes Madison and Leon counties, had legislation passed the House that bars public money from Texas Central's high-speed rail project.
That's pretty straightforward. That's what they've been saying. And so basically we're just codifying what they have represented to folks between Dallas and Houston and putting that into law.
Senate Bill 977, written by Brazos County Senator Charles Schwertner, advanced to the House for a final vote by a margin of 121-9. Supporting Ashby were Representatives John Rainey of Bryan, Kyle Cassell of College Station, and Leighton Schubert of Caldwell. WTAW News Time is 8 minutes after 8. It's 61 degrees. You can call or text us this morning at 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by BCR Realtors. More news at 8:30, or you can always check out our website, WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
You can trust the best real estate firm in the Brazos Valley.
BCR Realtors was very helpful in getting me approved for a mortgage loan when I didn't think it was possible. Once approved, they helped me find the right home that fit my needs. BCR then helped me get my duplex sublease so I could buy before my lease was over. They even helped me set up my utilities so that I didn't have to miss work. Thank you, BCR Realtors.
The best real estate firm in the Brazos Valley.
Whether you have a swimming pool or looking to build one, trust the Pool Guy. With a large professional staff, the Pool Guy can properly maintain your swimming pool, saving you time and money. The Pool Guy is the only local service center trusted by all major manufacturers to service their products. Any pool repair, large or small, the Pool Guy's experienced technicians can handle it. For pool supplies, toys, and free water testing, visit the pool store. Trust the experience of the Pool Guy to ensure your pool construction and maintenance is done right. Call 575-6200 for the Pool Guy.
Right about 8:10, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Checking some weather, brought to you by Skyline Communications, in business for your business since 1981. With two-way radios and paging service, call Skyline Communications, 775-2929.
Cloud showers, thunderstorms, they'll all drift across the area today. Temperatures, they'll reach 75 to 80 degrees this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are also a possibility into tonight, lows 65 to 70. Showers and thunderstorms, they'll gradually wind down during the day tomorrow. Highs, they're going to be very close to 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, becoming clear, a little cooler, 55 to 60. Then sunny and nice for Wednesday, 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There goes, 810. So KBTX celebrating their 60th shindig anniversary, that kind of thing. A lot of the people who used to work there back on the air over the week, and so our buddy Henry Mayo sent some stuff along, as he does, kind of the historian of Brazos County, and this was the programming, okay? On Wednesday, on KBTX, at 4 o'clock was the Uncle Elihu Show, okay?
All right.
Which came out of Waco, and it was a show where, you know, kids would sit in bleachers, and there'd be like, you know, 15 or 20 of them there, or they'd have a birthday party there, and Uncle Elihu was some guy who dressed up like an old codger and would interview the kids. And, you know, every TV station had that kind of show. We had Uncle Jay with Packer Jack. That was on out of Austin. And somebody named Zeebo was on Channel 6 in Waco. Zeebo would do this thing where he had this big piece of paper, and a kid would come up and scribble on it, then he'd make a picture out of it, a cartoon, ooh, and give it to him, which was, you know, kind of
fun. That's pretty cool.
Yep. So anyhow, Uncle Elihu was on, followed by the Mickey Mouse Club at 5 o'clock. At 6 was the TX Times News. That's what they called it. The TX Times weather was at 6:08. We only had 8 minutes worth of news back then. Then Douglas Edwards did the news at 6:15. That's the network news. And then Rin Tin Tin came on at 6:30.
There
and
you
The Millionaire, I've Got a Secret, Wednesday night fights. Fights. They used to have fights on just regular television, you know. Then Ozzie and Harriet and Ford Theater, and then the TX Final News, and they signed off at 10:30 at night.
Wow.
Yeah. The other thing that he did is he included newspaper advertising. Now, get this, from Parker Aston. Remember Parker Aston mm-hmm. downtown? I mean, mm-hmm. they were here up until a few years ago. See Brian's new TV station, KBTX, on the air. Call Parker Aston at Taylor, TA, 21541. We'll bring a TV set to your home. No obligation. Just call Parker Aston now. Give us your name and address, and when KBTX goes on the air, we'll send a set to your home for you to see how Brian's new TV station is coming in.
Wow.
Or if you wish, come by our store. We'll be open the first three nights and to see here on our beautiful RCA and Philco console table models and portables. And again, that's a deal that companies would do, is they would take a, sure, we'll take a TV out to you. Be glad to. And then, of course, the neighbors are going to see when they pick up the TV and take it back.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't afford it or didn't want it or whatever. So, I mean, you know, once you get it in the house, that works.
There you go.
And so then they had another ad. Parker Aston salutes KBTX with famous Philco televisions, a new portable exclusive Scanatenna. That's what it's
called.
Okay. With a solarized filter. It had a solarized filter.
What does a solarized filter do?
And also it had an aluminized tube. Just saying.
Ooh, and now we're talking.
I love this. It was the most powerful portable ever made. Well, what does that mean? It'll fry your toes?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Means it had a retro encabulator.
Yeah. Now, it was 60 years ago, okay, and it was $149.
Wow.
Which, again, probably was a lot of money.
A lot of money back then, yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
So, let's see. Then their modern long low console was $239. Okay, I think you can Google this in. Google in
okay.
$239 in 1957 money. See if you can find out how much it would be today.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Want to do that?
Calculate. Yep. Okay. $2,090.
Wow. The best television was $2,000 back then. All right. There you go. So that's just kind of the way things used to be.
Yep.
And I appreciate, as always, Henry, whenever he sends us stuff, it's usually pretty interesting. So they're going to sell Evis's custom-made private jet, which has basically been sitting in a plane graveyard out in, I think, Tucson, Arizona. It's going to go on sale on the 27th of, no, May the 30th. May the 30th, they're going to do a 1962 Lockheed Jetstar that had crushed velour seats on the in there for the passengers. Yeah, it's pretty famous. Anyhow, it still looks pretty good. But that's why it's out there. They had it out in the desert, and you've seen, they've done videos, of, you know, out there, because the climate is such that it's not going to rust because it doesn't rain out there very often, and just because the humidity's so low, it's able to stay in, you know, fairly
good shape,
condition,
I guess.
All things considered. All right, there you go. 8:15. So we saw a list online of a bunch of survival myths that you see in movies all the time. Mm. They don't actually work. In fact, they could kill you.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So here you go. Like, here's six of them. You can suck the venom out of a snake bite. No, you can't.
No.
It doesn't work that way, and actually it gets bacteria into the wound.
Ugh.
Yeah. So instead, here's what you do is you keep the bite below heart level.
Then
you,
I have heard that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get to a hospital. I love this. Don't panic.
Okay.
You've just been bitten by a snake.
Don't panic, because, of course, you want to keep your heart rate low.
What if the bite is, like, up on your shoulder or your neck?
Then you have to stand on your head while they take you to the hospital. I guess is probably the way they do that. Okay. Always play dead when you're attacked by a bear. Well, if it's a brown bear or a grizzly bear, like in the movie Revenant, then it's true, okay? The thing is, though, black bears are way more common in U.S. America, and you do need to fight back if they attack you.
Oh, okay.
And that's unless they come out and you have to cancel your high school
baseball
game
that
happened this morning.
We'll be fighting back, but it might be the last thing you're going to do, though.
Yeah. If you're lost in the woods, you need to find food. No, you don't. Do not waste time or energy on that, because you can live a long time without food.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks, in fact.
You may be hangry.
That's right. Take a Snickers with you. You'll be fine.
There you go.
Anyway, but find water. That's important, because water, you will die after a few days without water. Now, speaking of water, haven't you always heard, cut open a cactus, drink the water?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No. Some types do have water in them, but it's not clean water.
Mm.
There are chemicals in it that will make you sick. Then if you get sick, you throw up, and that makes you even more dehydrated.
Yep.
So that's not the way to go either. And have you ever heard, if you're attacked by a shark, punch it in the nose?
Yep.
Yeah.
It makes a great story. Go for the eyes.
Go for
the gills, okay? Once again, you know, I love these. Oh, by the way, if you're attacked by a shark.
Right.
Because
Think about it.
Yeah, everybody's going to be
Take the time. Sure, don't panic.
Cool, yeah, you're going to be real rational.
Cool and collected.
Yeah, just look for the
eye. Oh, there's his gill.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, let me just grab that.
Where's the eye? Got it.
Okay. Anyway. All right, so probably best if this guy was too drunk to remember this. A drunk man in Memphis, apparently couldn't make it home, decided to stop and take a nap. He found a car with a trunk, so he climbed up onto the trunk of Carl Webb's car and dozed off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carl and his wife come out of the barbecue joint. It's dark, and they've got the rear shade up, so they can't see that there is actually a man asleep on his trunk. Starts the car. Drives away until a Memphis policeman pulls him over. Sir, are you aware there's a body on your trunk? Well, not really. He said, I'm not messing with you, mister. There's a body on your trunk.
Oh, my gosh.
Carl got out, saw the man, who was asleep, had slept for a 14-mile drive.
Wow.
He's okay, but, I mean, really?
How did he stay asleep?
I don't know. Well, he's drunk. Okay.
Well, yeah, that'll do it.
All right,
not fall off.
Yeah. Well, again, must have been a smooth, slow ride.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, big news over the weekend, of course, was the big wedding.
Pippa
got married to James Matthews in front of 100 friends and family at St. Mark's Church. UK Daily Mail reports the party then moved to the Middleton family property afterwards. About 350 people gathered to eat, drink, and celebrate with the newlyweds. The blowout affair featured Nytimber champagne. I don't know what that is.
Me neither. But
never heard of it.
Fancy.
That's right. And a Russian caviar. Well, we know what that is. Inside a 150-foot glass marquee that was shipped from Belgium. All eyes reportedly on the 3-year-old Prince George and 2-year-old Princess Charlotte, who served as the bridesmaids during the ceremony. And I guess they did okay. The Blushing Bride wore two gowns created by Giles Deacon, along with a custom-made Balonic, Manolo Balonic, is that right?
Manolo? Yes, Manolo.
Okay, sure. Shoes. And the crowd was wowed by, as they were buzzed by the couple, was saluted by airplanes from the airport.
Who did you say the dress was by? Did you?
I did. Giles Deacon.
Okay.
Do we know that one?
No, but it was really pretty. I saw a picture of it. So
she wore a blush-colored dress and Duchess Kate wore a blush-colored dress. No. Yeah.
Okay.
And a fascinator. What does that mean for the festivities?
I don't know.
A fascinator? You don't know what a fascinator
no.
is? No. Okay, anyway. But Meghan Markle, of course, was also
One of those little kind of top hat thing, or not a hat, like it.
A thing on her head.
Yeah, a thing on her head. Okay. It's like a big flower-looking thing.
Okay. That's called a fascinator, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay, mm-hmm. Never knew. Meghan Markle, of course, was there but did not attend the ceremony because it was a no ring, no bring.
Right.
Mm. And so she didn't get to go. But People magazine reports that her dashing boyfriend drove 100 miles round trip to pick her up in London, and then they hit the evening reception afterwards. So everything was fine.
Huh.
All right, that's the Society report. Well, you can tell Brad Pitt is on top of his game. He was interviewed in Parade magazine. Remember Parade magazine? Remember newspapers?
Barely.
Yeah, all that? Yeah, anyway. Parade magazine discovered that the Golden Boy's first job in Hollywood was playing a dancing chicken outside a local El Pollo Loco, and he landed the role of Thelma and Louise after Billy Baldwin dropped out to do the movie Backdraft. Always willing to sacrifice for his art, he also said he had a dentist intentionally chip his teeth for Fight Club.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you do that?
That's commitment to the bit.
I guess so. I don't know. 822.
If you're looking for wow-worthy gifts, timeless pieces for your home, or just a fun shopping day with friends, make your way to Vintage 105 in downtown Navasota. At Vintage 105, you'll find an artfully curated selection of shabby chic gifts and home decor, fun accessories, and women's clothing in all sizes. They're also your local Annie Sloan chalk paint stockist, offering painting workshops throughout the year. Open Monday through Saturday at 119 East Washington Avenue in Navasota. Follow Vintage 105 on Facebook and Instagram.
We are truly seeing the political and economic uncertainty of 2016 rear its ugly head now in 2017. There are rising tensions over U.S. relations with North Korea, Russia, the dropping dollar. How do you protect yourself? You've worked hard for what you have. Are you worried about the currency and conflicts around the globe? With gold, you don't have to. Gold is high quality, a liquid asset that's invaluable as a hedge against uncertainty and market volatility. Gold is a tangible currency that can never go to zero. Central banks, hedge funds, billionaires, diversifying right now with gold. Shouldn't you? Goldline is the only company I will ever buy gold from. Call 1-866-GOLDLINE. Goldline makes it easy to add physical gold to your portfolio at 866-GOLDLINE. They have been helping people diversify their portfolio with gold for 57 years and is rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Call 866-465-3546. It's 866-GOLDLINE. Read their important risk information and find out if gold or silver is right for you.
Brad Mitchell in the studio right now with April Clemens from Long Way Home Adoptables. This, of course, is brought to you by Pet Supplies Plus, your local pet supply super center located in the Bryan Target Center. So, April, you got little Theo here.
I do. This is Theodore, our Chihuahua, and he's kind of a bigger Chihuahua, 12-pound Chihuahua. So he's not one of those Chihuahuas that you'd have to worry about young kids tripping over in the home.
Yeah.
So he's nice, big, sturdy, and he's very timid, not timid, that's not, he's very affectionate, but submissive.
Yeah.
So if there's a lot of kids playing or a lot of dogs playing and a lot of action happening, he will just politely remove himself, or he'll just be like, it's cool, man, we're friends.
Yeah, he's calm.
We're all cool here.
He's chill.
Yeah. So he's very good in that regard. So mm-hmm. He'd be a great family pet.
He looks like he's got maybe like some corgi in him or something. He looks like maybe a Chihuahua corgi mix
or
something.
Your guess is as good as mine. He's like a sable-ish brown with tan and really gold eyes. So
yeah, he's definitely not your typical shivering Taco Bell
dog. Definitely not. And he's got these huge globe tan eyes. It's just beautiful.
He's one of the nicest dogs. I mean, he just came right up to me mm-hmm. and just kind of sniffed me and was being all good.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, dog. he's just very even keeled, affectionate. He's great with kids, dogs, and cats. I mean, you just can't get better.
Excellent. He's up for adoption
right now.
Awesome. Yes. And they can get more info at mylongwayhome.org?
Right. Just go on our website, click that Adoptables tab, and you can see pictures and fill out the application right there.
Great. Okay. So now you guys need some volunteers, right?
We do. So we want to get a lot of our events going for the summer, and that's unfortunately not a skill I possess. And so we have the resources and we have the people. We just need someone who has that nice, wonderful brain that works in that way to help plan some events. Mm-hmm. And we would love that. It's a volunteer position, but we could really use your help because we'd love to be out in the community and meeting people.
You have skills in other facets, so
yes, but this is not one.
It's totally okay if you need an event planner. Right. That's totally fine. And so you guys need that for a volunteer, and you guys also need some supplies, right?
Right. So we did a call out last week for wet food. So thank you to everybody who stepped up. We met half of our goal in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was wonderful. And so we still need a little bit more wet puppy food. If you're in Pet Supplies Plus, you can just grab a couple cans and pitch it in the box, or go on our website and you can shop online. It's really easy, but we could definitely use some wet puppy food.
Super easy ways to help out these animals that need your help, whether you want to foster, whether you want to adopt, whether you want to donate food or your time or anything. You can do it online. You can do it at Pet Supplies Plus. It's super easy to do it. They make it that way over there at Long Way Home Adoptables. April, thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it. Definitely. And this, of course, is brought to you by Pet Supplies Plus, your local pet supplies super center located in the Bryan Target Center. Get in touch with April and the good people over at Long Way Home Adoptables at mylongwayhome.org. Thanks, April.
Thank you.
I'm Jennifer Kashenko with Your Money Now. Ford is replacing CEO Mark Fields amid questions about its current performance and future strategy. CEO Mark Fields is retiring at age 56 after 28 years at the company. He'll be replaced by Jim Hackett, who has led Ford's mobility unit since last year. As CEO, Fields began Ford's transition from a traditional automaker into a mobility company, laying out plans to build autonomous vehicles and explore new services such as ride-hailing and car sharing. The shipyard that builds the Navy's aircraft carrier says it could save the country money if it builds three at once. Newport News Shipbuilding added that concurrently constructing carriers also reduces construction time. Newport News Shipping says it could save $1.5 billion for every three carriers built at the same time. The Congressional Budget Office has estimated that bringing the Navy to 355 ships would cost $5 billion a year for 30 years. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a modestly higher open. That's Your Money Now.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $28 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-244-6060. That's 1-800-244-6060. 1-800-244-6060. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I don't think anyone would correct me if I said that everyone hates passwords. Conventional wisdom tells us that passwords need to be complex and changed often. But as it turns out, conventional wisdom may be wrong. Kim Commando with your Monday Digital Consumer Tech Update. New recommendations about passwords are out from the National Institutes of Science and Technology. The latest advice? Passwords should not be individual words. Rather, they should be what's known as memorized phrases, secrets that only you know. Such as, my first grade teacher was Mrs. Smith. Use upper and lowercase letters, punctuation marks, and spaces between the words. The longer the phrase, the better, and you'll like this. Don't change your password unless they've been compromised. When people change passwords, they most often use the same pattern with only minor changes, making them easy to guess. Try it on a few websites and see what you think. Get all the tech news updated 24/7 at news.commando.com. That's KOMANDO.
ADT presents What to Consider When Considering Home Security. An ADT sign is more than a sign. It's a line in the sand. On one side, your family. On the other, an uncertain world.
For over 140 years, more people have chosen ADT to help prevent crime than anyone else. Get ADT starting at just $28.99 a month.
Tested, trusted, proven ADT.
With 36-month contract for licensing and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com.
Are you sick and tired of being gouged by your cable company? Sitting on hold, waiting for customer service, and paying insane bills, but getting less channels and service? Millions of Americans have found a better way to get their favorite TV channels for a fraction of what they're paying the cable company. The solution? CableGone.com. Most top shows and major sports are available now without expensive cable or satellite. Learn more today at CableGone.com. Cut the cord with CableGone.com.
The Kim Komando Show is brought to you by TexasKubotaDealers.com. Visit TexasKubotaDealers.com for the Kubota dealer nearest you.
WTAW News Time is 8:30. It's 61 degrees. Since 4 a.m., 1.24 inches of rain has fallen at Easterwood Airport, and we'll take a look at your full forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. A cooperative effort among developers, the city of College Station and Brazos County is supposed to improve one of the most congested roads in South College Station. It's part of one developer's attempt to rezone land where nearly 1,500 single-family homes could be built. Consulting engineer Veronica Morgan told the College Station Planning and Zoning Commission that rebuilding Arrington Road could start late next year.
I'd like to note that without the support of the adjacent developments, Arrington Road improvements would certainly be delayed because of the additional right-of-way acquisition cost and time frame that it would take to get that done.
Morgan says county commissioners have tentatively included construction money in their 2018 budget to rebuild Arrington. And Morgan says the city has accepted their offer to pay the city for the design and construction costs of dual left-turn lanes when the intersection of Arrington and Greens Prairie is rebuilt starting next year.
That signalization project is currently under design and is at 95% design. Once we realized that our TIA projected that we would need dual lefts at that intersection, we looked at that intersection design and realized that it did not have those dual lefts. And so rather than let that design continue and be constructed without the dual lefts and us come in 3, 4, 5 years after that project is finished and mess up that entire intersection all again, let us pay for the design and the construction of those dual lefts through a development agreement.
Planning and Zoning endorsed rezoning what's called the Margraves development, bordered by Arrington and Greens Prairie West, on a 6-0 vote. It goes before the City Council this Thursday. There is differing reaction from the Bryan and College Station school districts to state legislation that is headed to the governor calling for school buses to have seat belts. Quoting a Bryan ISD spokesman, "At this time, we're just monitoring the situation. We'll see what happens." In College Station ISD, a spokesman tells WTAW News, "It looks like we'll be buying buses with seat belts going forward. As for installing belts on existing buses, that is something CSISD officials have yet to talk about. No additional state funding will be provided for seat belts, which supporters say cost an additional $7,000 per bus. School districts can opt out if they don't have the money." For the first time since 2011, state legislation banning texting while driving is headed to the governor. State Senator Judith Zaffarini of Laredo sponsored House legislation she's been pushing for the past 10 years.
It would expressly preempt local ordinances that relate to the use of a portable wireless communication device to read, write, or send an electronic message.
The bill does allow use of GPS and music playing devices. One of many state legislative proposals affecting the high-speed rail project between Houston and Dallas received support from the House over the weekend. Senate Bill 977, written by Brazos County Senator Charles Schwertner, was carried in the House by Representative Trent Ashby, whose district includes Madison and Leon counties.
What the bill does is basically puts the words of the high-speed rail company into action, and it just says that no public dollars or taxpayer dollars will be spent on a privately financed high-speed rail project.
Joining Ashby in advancing the bill towards a final House vote were Kyle Cassell of College Station, John Rainey of Bryan, and Leighton Schubert of Caldwell. Ashby is also busy as a member of the House Senate Conference Committee as the House representative covering the funding of higher-end public education. He says the Senate changed its formula and reduced the amount of money proposed for higher ed.
Frankly, this House was quite a bit higher in terms of what we have spent in our budget on our institutions of higher education, which is something I know that's extremely important to the people in your listening areas.
Ashby compared the Senate's new funding formula for higher education with the House, like looking to Greek versus Latin or apples and oranges. Someone who wanted a ride home is accused of taking a funeral home vehicle, then dumping a corpse on a stretcher in a ditch northeast of Bryan. 28-year-old Tanya Albrecht told Bryan police and Brazos County Sheriff's deputies she had permission to borrow the unmarked Suburban. She also denied removing the corpse and used profanity to say she doesn't care about dead people. Albrecht was arrested for abuse of a corpse, and she and 27-year-old Adam Crow were charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle. The Suburban, which was left unattended, was taken from the parking lot of a convenience store on Highway 21. The corpse was being taken from Bryan to Seeley at the time the vehicle was taken. A College Station man returned to jail last weekend, 3 months after admitting in court to cutting his mother with a knife a year and a half ago. 19-year-old D'Anthony Williams was one of two men arrested Saturday night on charges of selling a stolen Xbox in the parking lot of the College Station Police Department. Williams and 19-year-old Jahaleel Brown of Bryan are out of jail after posting bond. The victim, who saw his game was for sale on Craigslist, got the suspects to meet him in the parking lot and then contacted police. According to online court records, Williams was sentenced to time served for misdemeanor family assault violence. A Bryan man with 25 suspensions on his driver's license over the last 7 years spent a brief time in jail Friday night after he was pulled over for not using his traffic signal. 31-year-old Damian Gooden was arrested by College Station police for driving with an invalid license with one prior conviction. And a College Station teenager remains missing. Online at WTAW.com is a photo of 16-year-old Taisha Lachey Ross, who was last seen on April 28th. WTAW News Time is 8:36. It's 61 degrees. Text us any time of the day, 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. More news anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Building a home is a big decision, but it doesn't have to be a big hassle. Hi, I'm Jared Marriott, and I'd like to introduce Classic Homes by Marriott. We understand the importance of turnkey solutions, budget constraints, and the idea of true customization. We can simplify your home building experience. We're with you every step of the way from blueprint to move-in, and we'll ensure that you have a home to fit your family needs and budget. Classic Homes by Marriott, backed by our family guarantee and the Marriott tradition of excellence. Call us at 696-1787 or click MarriottHomes.com.
Good morning, 8:37, Aransas Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast Roof System, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to UnitedRoofingPros.com. Here you are.
We're in for plenty of wet weather this morning. Radar depicting lots of showers, some embedded thunderstorms all drifting from west to east across the region. Scattered showers and storms, 75 to 80. Showers and thunderstorms are also possible tonight, lows 65 to 70. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, chance for showers and thunderstorms, cooler, highs near 80 degrees. It'll be nice on Wednesday, sunny with a high of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There you go, 8:38. We've had, as Chelsea told you, about an inch and a quarter of rain, so it's the perfect time to have City Council member from District 4 Mike Sutherland in because he wants a drainage fee. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it. Well, not only that, but I put six items on the agenda last year about drainage. And the city has responded to it. They got a plan, just not enough money in the plan.
Well, and the thing is, there was a lot of maintenance and waterways that needed to be done.
Absolutely.
And now I think they've got it on the calendar to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, I don't know, not yet, because there's not enough money to prevent it, but they are working on it. They got a 5-year plan. The staff has always had one, but the council hadn't been willing to put that forward and put enough money for it to solve the problem.
Right. Well, not the first time government's done that.
That's
for sure. All right. Before I want to talk to you about several things. I always do when you come in. But first, I want to talk about the development on Bristol Avenue that's behind the Hillier Funeral Home. They'll know where that is on East 29th Street, right in the Blinn area. That's a vacant lot, has been vacant for a long time.
Right.
Now something's going to be built there.
It's zoned for office. And I work with the neighbors for about 2 months on that issue. And when we went to the council meeting and it was over, I kind of felt like Custer because we had everything lined up for us. The people had sent 7 letters to the editor. They wrote 50 pages of emails. They spoke 46 times, 30 at the PNZ and 16 at the council meeting. And at that council meeting, there was about 100 or 125 people there saying, don't do that project. And the thing about the people that came forward, they didn't say, we don't want it because we don't like it. They said, you can't have it here because it creates some kind of issue. And they laid the issues out for everybody. And the city didn't have the answers to those issues. They just went ahead and did it anyway. And I got a problem because I get elected by people that vote. And there was 125 voters in there. And they said, don't do it. And I'm thinking, there's one guy on the other side. He's from out of town. These guys are in town. And they don't want it in their neighborhood. So that's a no-brainer. And the other aspect is, our neighborhoods are old. The average age of the voter in our neighborhood is about 68 years old. A lot of people have been in their houses for 30 years. And they didn't say, don't put anything there. They said, don't put that apartment building there because it was going to overstress all the infrastructure.
Well, it's a lower profile than it could have been.
Yeah. No, not really.
Well.
No, because they bring that stuff up all the time as like holding you hostage. But the other things they talked about wouldn't fit for some reason because of the requirements for the infrastructure. I mean, not infrastructure, but the building requirements and other laws and stuff. So.
Okay, so that horse has left the barn. Okay, you can't do anything about that.
Wait a minute. However, the problems created, I talked to some of the staff and explained to them, they were creating problems that you don't have the money to solve. So let's make sure that they pay for the problems they create. And one of them is drainage. And Dr. Barfick at that meeting is requiring them to detain 30% of the runoff on the property, and all the runoff's got to be underground. So that's going to be very expensive. I'm not sure they can accommodate that.
So there's some make ready on the site before they ever start
construction. After it's constructed, they got to detain 30% and then roughly 30%,
right.
And then they got to put underground the drainage and run the drainage over to the first city line. So they have to pay for all that.
Okay, and again, so, that's the city saying it has to be done. Really,
yeah, Dr. Barfin, because we got a terrible drainage problem over there, and what they were going to do was just going to create more for them.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's a done deal.
So at least it's passed by rule, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the structure's going to get built.
Absolutely, there's more way than one to skin a cat.
So we can watch that.
Yeah.
One of the things the city council did last meeting was they did put together a charter committee, 7 members. Everybody got to nominate somebody from council. You got to nominate people. Then the whole council voted, and you have those 7 members. Tell me what you think about the committee.
Well, that's the city's right to do that. I wish they had done it a long time ago, so maybe we could have worked with them on some of the things we're working on with our BrianNewDirections.com. But, I mean, this is good citizens interested in the town, and we'll see what happens with it. But the problem that I have is that the mayor chastised me for forming my PAC, which is required by law to form a PAC to bring something forward, and he's going to take my issues and determine whether or not they're okay.
Well, I think what he asked you to do is he said, I believe, if I can paraphrase him, that the city secretary begged you to come in and talk to that office.
Okay. The problem with that is it's against the law for me to use city assets to operate my PAC. I can't take their money. I can't take their equipment.
But advice is free.
Well, but no, it's not free. That's a paid staff person. We're using tax money to do that. Okay, but however, having said that,
all right.
What I did do was when I started it, before you get your charter together, you have to have a treasurer. So I filed the treasurer with the city secretary, talked to her about it, explained what we're doing. And then when I had the draft of my petition elements, I took them up there to her and let her look through them, but I wasn't ready to publish them, but let her look through them and give me some advice. And she recommended we add one to it. So we did that, but it didn't work out. But I did as much as I thought I could do legally with the staff. It would be wonderful I go to the city attorney and say, read this and make sure it's right legally. But we can't do that. So that's against the law.
District 4 Bryan City Councilman joining me this morning. Okay, now you have some provisions in there. There are 10 different elements in there.
Now you're talking about my petition.
Your petition.
Okay, your petition,
which the mayor said we will just fold into everything that the committee's going to look
correct,
at.
Right.
And you feel okay with that, right?
No, because it's going to complicate my problem because they're going to come up with different wording that we don't want, so we're going to have to explain what we want compared to what they want. So it's going to complicate the voter problem in November.
I don't. Have we heard what the format of the committee meetings are going to be? Do you know anything about that?
No, we don't know anything about that. No.
Okay. But you're going to ask, your group will ask to at least have a hearing or have these things presented to the committee in the words that you would like to use.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've got that out. We published it. We're working on it now. We're circulating petitions. Okay. Now for it, with
right.
the wording we'd like to use.
All right, now where are you circulating petitions?
All over town.
Okay.
Okay.
Where would they go? I mean, what?
Well, okay, give me a call, 979-229-7805. We have a website, BrianNewDirections.com, and that lists our meeting times and places and dates on it. Mm-hmm. And it also has a copy of the petition with the issues on it, and you can print out the petition. Circulating is a different problem. You can't do it like the RVP did it. You got to do it with somebody witnessing signatures and that kind of thing. The instructions are all on that website.
Okay, so quickly, I want to go through three of them. I don't want to go through all of them because I got other things I want to talk to you about.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. What you want to do is you want to have a situation where 55% of the property owners within 500 feet of a piece of property that is either going to be rezoned or get some sort of a conditional use permit.
Right.
It'd be 55% down from where it about two-thirds right now.
Well, it's 66%, yeah. Right? Yeah, okay. Two-thirds. So, right. So I think that's not a – if you get 51%, you're going to have half of the people mad at you when you do these things in the neighborhood, so you don't. That's not good. So 55% is kind of a number that's above half, and there will be more people involved in it, and they can talk more about it. And so generally speaking, like that Bristol Apartments, had they listened to those people, they wouldn't have done that. But you could still build something there. We're not talking about stop construction. We're talking about what's compatible in the neighborhood, and the neighbors know. You just ask them.
Well, Mayor Pro Tem Owens suggested something very similar to this about 3 weeks ago.
That was kind of a patch-up job and more political, I think, than anything. But anyway, that 66% is only one part of that conservation district, because you have to get a notarized signature. You have to take somebody with you. That's got to be witnessed. Each page has to be notarized. It's got to be French. No, it's got to be Spanish and English on both. Anyway.
Well, he said he might be in favor of having staff do that.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about moderately priced and low-priced housing.
Yes.
You want to have those needs recognized, and you want to address them at about 15% per year.
Correct.
Is that basically right?
Exactly right. Now,
all right. Go ahead.
Now, we have currently the federal government has a CDBG program, which is in the newspaper today.
Okay.
That's
a community development block grant.
Right.
Okay.
And that's a chunk of money given to the cities to use to help low- to moderate-income folks.
Okay.
Okay. What early on to that program, they were spending $80,000 a year on the LaSalle Hotel. And I said, wait a minute, who's that helping? You know, so it took me 4 years to get that out of there. But this is the same style program, but it looks like that money's going to be cut down or cut out. So we need some more money to take care of that stuff. Because that includes programs like removing houses that are abandoned from the properties that you can rebuild on. That means repairing stuff. And there's a lot of low to moderate income housing needs that aren't addressed with that little bit of money we get from the government.
Okay, but you want 5% of the value of commercial property, 10%.
Up to
5%.
Right,
all right.
Up to 10%.
And up to 10%.
Right.
Now, I don't think I'm buying a house in Bryan.
Right.
But if I am, why would I want to have to pay up to 10% tax for that to go to build low and moderate housing? That's crazy.
Well, it's not all going to go to low to moderate income housing.
Where's it going to go?
A third's going to go to low to moderate income housing.
I don't care. That's,
wait a minute. What? And then two-thirds going to drainage and sewage repairs.
Okay, now I'm okay with that.
But see, the part of the problem is...
It's not my job to do that as a citizen.
Yes,
no,
it is not my job to do that. Wait,
time
out. You can't... When you paint your house,
all right,
you don't just paint half of it, and it's okay. You paint the whole thing. We don't have to be...
But I don't pay for my neighbor to paint his house.
But the idea is we have to be neat, clean, and tidy. Some people cannot afford to do the things that need to be done. That's why the federal government's doing it.
The federal government can do it, but don't raise
I'm not raising your taxes. That's not a tax thing. That's a one-time fee that College Station is doing. They're charging it in a flat fee, $8,000 per permit.
And are they putting it in low to moderate housing?
I don't know what they're doing.
Well, then that doesn't necessarily mean that College Station's doing the exact same thing. They may have an impact fee that has to do with enhancements within that community.
But they have a future needs thing, and part of the future needs is taking care of those properties that need to be cleaned up.
I don't like that.
Well, I hope you don't vote in Bryan.
Well, I don't. So there. All right. Now, a couple of other things. Research Valley Partnership is basically...
Go ahead.
Well, what?
Well, they did that incorrectly, totally incorrectly.
All right.
They didn't have a PAC. They didn't have people watching signing the petition.
Well, they didn't get enough signatures, so at that point, this point, it doesn't matter.
Well,
does it
could have slid through though if they had. I went to the county and told them that they need to follow the rules that everybody else has to follow. But they did a good job of counting those signatures. I can't believe they wound up with 400 short out of 10,000. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, let's talk that's all right. Hijack the interview. That's okay. No. But how do you feel about the change in focus for the Research Valley Partnership that they are spending that amount of energy on that project?
Oh, that's way wrong. We didn't ask them. They don't know about schools. We got Blinn and we got – if they were serious, as I said on television, if they were serious about education, they would have knocked on Mr. Chancellor Sharp's door and said, hey, can you help us with this? We got a problem. And he would have snapped his fingers and would have done like that. Blinn did not need to be messed with. I think the problem – they felt Blinn was weak. Their people are very, very friendly. I talked to a lot of them, and they're very friendly. They're very accommodating, and I think they took that for weakness. And they thought that they don't have any mission now, so they, I think they thought they could take that up and ram that through. Hmm. That was a wrong thing to do. You know how much Blend's worth to us here?
How much?
$247 million a year. $247 million a year.
All right, now, Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yeah.
There's, once again, that's on our radar screen. How are things going there?
Well, I think I kind of agree with College Station in that regard over the years that should be focused for College Station and Bryan. And if you focus, you can focus it separately and spend the money more efficiently, but the accumulated results are still the same because people aren't going to come to Bryan and stay in our hotels when we advertise a project. They're going to stay in College Station too and vice versa. So that money is kind of, I think it's not misspent, but I think it's the concept is not correct in that regard.
Okay. Anything else that's on your radar? I'll give you a minute. Anything else on your radar screen you want to discuss this morning? We haven't touched. All right.
Right
ahead.
I'm also the representative to the Brazos Valley Groundwater District, Conservation mm-hmm. District. Have you heard about that?
I have.
That's been a big battle, and they're constantly in Robertson County trying to take our permits so that they can sell us back water that we have the rights to. However, Bryan operates within all of the laws that we know to operate within. We have, Dr. Barfnick again has done a wonderful job of conserving what we have. We have, over the years, we've accumulated permits because we provide so many people water. We have about 30,000 acre feet of water to use, but we only use half of it. The problem is that the groundwater district can cut us off at a certain time when the levels get to a certain place, so we don't have an alternate source. So what he's done is he's developed a system approved by the state, funded by the state, to store water underground so that when we need it later on, we can get to it. And it's a cheaper way to do it. If you store it above ground in a lake, it evaporates. Mm-hmm. And if you put a tank above ground, you got to maintain it. But when you put it in the ground, it stays there. I don't know what the science is, but it'll stay there, won't mix with the water around it. So we can have that for future use. So we got to have an alternate source of water. We've got to.
All right. Mike Sutherland, he's the Place 4 council member from the City of Bryan. Thank you for the time
this
morning. Yes,
sir. I appreciate you.
All right. Yep.
So this fellow named Chase Murphy on WTAW's Infomaniacs back in the day, he prided himself on knowing just about all of the mascot names of Texas high schools, even the most obscure like the Rock Spring Angoras, the Breckenridge Buckaroos, the Baytown League Ganders, the Mesa Griffons. Well, for me, I found a book put together by 10 people called Mascot Mania, Spirit of Texas High Schools. That helped me. For the most part, Brazos Valley High Schools stick to the populars, the Tigers. There's 65-plus of those. The Cougars, there's more than 30 of those. There's more than 75 Eagles in Texas. But according to this book, Groesbeck is the only Goats, Hutto the only Hippos, Taylor the only Ducks, and, of course, Cameron Yeo, the only yeoman in Somerville, the only Yeewaws. There are just two black cats, Mahia and Bay City. Even Navasota shares its mascot with four other Rattlers, Sherry Land, Rio Grande City, San Antonio Reagan, and San Marcos High School. There are nine other Rangers besides Rudder, including in Sugar Land at Clements and Rosenberg at Terry. There are 15 Trojans, along with Calvert, but surprisingly, only eight other Vikings besides Bryan's. There's 18 Longhorns, but just one Aggies. Yep, that's Poteet, the Poteet Aggies. My dad and his family, along with Tommy Lee Jones, were Armadillas from San Saba, only one of those. My high school was Panthers, over 50 of those. We all have our favorite unique mascots, don't we? I always enjoyed during drives through Port Lavaca, seeing the Fighting Sand Crab sign on the side of the stadium. There's the Fredericksburg Battling Billies, the Winters Blizzards, the Crane Cranes, the Springtown Porcupines, the Mason Punchers, the El Campo Ricebirds, the Texas City Stingeries, and the Itasca Wampus Cats. What's your favorite? It's all of Bravo Brazos Valley, and I'm Tom Turbeville. Brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Hi, this is Cherry Ruffino bringing you the 2017 current housing market update. Today's average sales price is $232,200, up 3.6%. We have 926 homes on the market, which is 20% more than last year. That's 105 days of inventory. We're still holding at 92 days on the market. Yes, it's still a seller's market. Want a free home evaluation? Call Agtown Realtors, 846-8400. Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, a trusted source of innovative real estate solutions, creating exceptional experiences for all.
Whether you have a swimming pool or are looking to build one, trust the Pool Guy. With a large professional staff, the Pool Guy can properly maintain your swimming pool, saving you time and money. The Pool Guy is the only local service center trusted by all pool manufacturers to service their products. Any pool repair, large or small, the Pool Guy's experienced technicians can handle it. For pool supplies, toys, and free water testing, visit the Pool Store. Trust the experience of the Pool Guy to ensure your pool construction and maintenance is done right. Call 575-6200 for The Pool Guy.
I ate something and I heard a crack and I lost my front tooth. At this point in my life, it's time to get dental work done. Called the office, man, I need to see you, Mike. And I said, I'm embarrassed the way I look and I don't want to come in there and listen to a bunch of stuff about what I did wrong. And he said, that's not what we do. We don't judge anybody. We just want to fix you. I don't think there's anybody that's more qualified than Mike Reese from what I see.
Learn more at drreese.com.
About 4 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. So the rain is moving a little bit, but not very much. I mean, it's still out there and
kind of hovering.
It is. And I think Chelsea said we're right at 1.25 mm-hmm. inch since 4 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Okay, so that's in the last 4 hours. So just, and again, it's not heavy very much. I mean, it rained heavily for about 5 minutes earlier this morning, but just there. And it's basically marching to the northeast, so you're going to get that all the way out of the state of Texas, as a matter of fact. But the other thing is, if you're headed down toward Houston, let me ooch the radar down. Yeah, Houston's fully involved now. Heavier rain down mm-hmm. there than we're getting here, so just so you know. All right, so Hugh Jackman's portrayal of Wolverine, legendary.
Yes.
Originally, he struggled, however, with his signature role. Fox News reports the actor studied wolves to perfect the part until Bryan Singer goes, psst, psst. A Wolverine is not a wolf.
No.
It's a completely different animal.
And, yeah. it is an animal.
Yeah. Hugh had no idea. He had no idea that they actually existed. He thought it was a wolf. So he made a field trip to the zoo, started learning about it, found out it was the largest member of the weasel family, which is kind of interesting. But nonetheless, there you go. And so got that. Megyn Kelly, former Fox star, going to be making her debut on NBC on June the 4th. New York Post page 6 gossip column reports the primetime debut of her news magazine, Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly, will be at 6 o'clock. So I guess up against 60 Minutes. She has not announced the first guest for the show. Rumors have swirled that it would be Pootie Poot. Supposedly did a sit-down with her, or will do a sit-down with her next month. So we'll see how all that works out. Let me see. Sportscaster and Dancing with the Stars co-host Aaron Andrews will also reportedly will be another of Megan's big interview subjects.
Oh, okay.
So have that going on.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood at Cannes over the weekend, the Cannes Film Festival, gave a master class in film to the crowd there and also said he is returning to acting.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Shuffling in.
How old is he now?
I don't know. He's got to be in his early 80s,
yeah,
I think
so.
One of the points that he made in his lecture was the first Dirty Harry movie was considered politically incorrect, and it was the start of an ongoing era of political correctness. He said, we're killing ourselves by doing that. We've lost our sense of humor. Well, all right. There you go.
Yeah. He's 86, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Friend of the station, Drake, big winner over the weekend in the Billboard Music Awards. He broke Adele's record by taking home 13 statues, which is the most ever. In one night. Also gave a really uncomfortable acceptance speech. I don't know if you heard about that.
Nope.
You might want to check in. Cher was presented the Icon Award by Gwen Stefani. She's 71 years old, proves she's still got the pipes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She did a rendition of Believe,
cool.
And if I could turn back time, complete with costume changes.
Nice.
Report was Celine Dion watching on a monitor backstage singing along with her.
Oh, cool.
All right.
The best part was they gave her an award and she didn't mention Donald Trump because
hey,
that might not have gone well.
Yeah.
So as a result, they didn't end up having any political drama going on there, which is probably good. No winner in Saturday night's lotto, so $250 million. Will that get you off the couch? That's what it's going to be, $250 million when they try that again. First grader in Japan has become the world's youngest club DJ.
Okay.
Six-year-old Itsuki Morita competed in the official Guinness World Records after spinning at a bar. They let a first grader in a bar?
Right. Hey,
man.
In Osaka, Japan. So there you go.
Must be good. DJ hey, Lunchable.
DJ Lunchable.
I like it. By the way, while we're talking about the lottery, New Yorkers better go and look in their cars because somewhere there is a lottery ticket worth $24 million. Money.com reports that somebody purchased the ticket last May in Tribeca. They've got till the end of the month. If it's not, actually, no, not even the end of the week. They have until Thursday. If they don't cash it in by Thursday, it is just
a piece of paper.
You'd hate that. All right, rain's going to end, we hope. Fingers crossed by about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and it'll start warming up. WTAW College Station, Brian, it's 9 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow.